وعلى سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتمه فيها طويلا. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد.
There is a request for Fatiha. A few mu'minat have passed away. Marhuma Sayyida Siddiqi Hashimi and another sister in Pakistan, Khanum Raisiyan, and another lady in India, Khan Kaniz Shahrbanu. There is a request for Fatiha for all three of them and for all Mu'mineen and Mu'minat. Coming back to our topic that was on lessons of freedom and obedience from the tragedy of Karbala, we started with the quote of Amir al-Mu'mineen where he said that وَلَا تَكُنْ عَبْدَ غَيْرِكَ وَقَدْ جَعَلَكَ اللَّهُ حُرًّا, that never be a slave of anyone when Allah has made you hur, when Allah has made you free. From among the lessons that we learn from this great tragedy is that Allah, that He wants us to be associated to the true Lord, and this association and separation from every fake Lord. May that be living or may that be dead, there has to be a total separation. In addition to that, someone who is associated to the true Lord, which is Allah, He makes us grow. The qualities which He wants to be in us make us live. But association to the fake lords, it kills us, it ruins us. Everything negative, everything indecent, all the sins which they want to be committed by an individual, they are all killers. As a result of that, a person also gets killed. Worshipping lords that are against Allah and the lords that are fake and false, they never make us grow. Also, they extinguish that fitra which is in us. It eliminates all the different stages of the heart without any exception. As a result of which, the heart of an individual, Quran says, فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً, that the heart becomes hard, but harder than a rock. And that time, nothing can be done to that heart. سُمَّنْ بُكْمَنْ عُمْيٌ فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجَعُونَ, the dead, blind and deaf are they, and nothing can be done. So before that stage comes up, that heart has to be kept alive at all times. Quran, it recognizes the soul of an individual as a page that can synchronize with every good and with every evil. If you look into Quran, it says that فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, that Allah, He told everything that is good to the soul, the message was given, and everything bad, the message of that also was given. The soul, it has that tendency that it can synchronize with either two of them, with this one and also that one. We have to be careful. But over here, Allah, He doesn't bind. He just shows the way. He sends the Prophet, He's done His job. The free will has been given to us. What we choose is what we get. our performance is what we choose from the two paths. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. That's God's task. He showed the way. Both the paths are before us. But if someone does do good, or if someone does do bad, you can't say that it was Allah He did that. The task is ours. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Says that you know that it's your task. مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَصْلَحْ فَإِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Now if someone does do bad and then later on he repents, Allah says, I will forgive him. So both the paths are before us. We have to see what we do. If you look into the Surah Al-Shams, after 11 swearings, 11 times Allah says, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا. And after swearing all that, says that قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Prosperous are those who purify themselves. قَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And those who, whose performance is bad, they are the ones who will suffer. In committing sins, there is no binding at all. Sins are by yourself. Good performance also is yours. Now, knowing these issues is good to strengthen the aqaid and the fundamentals that we have. Neither God has been negligent in conveying the message, nor does He bind you to perform an act. إِن تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْكُمْ وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. That if someone does do wrong, if someone does embrace kufr, does accept kufr, Allah says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْكُمْ. God, He is free from want from you. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. And Allah never is pleased by the acceptance of kufr by an individual. There is a topic which every one of us knows, and that is the topic of fighting the evil of our soul, or fighting with ourselves, jihad, with the nafs. And the temptations the soul has, it is not as such that these temptations come once in a while in one's lifetime. No. Temptations are there throughout one's life, and we have to be constantly aware. The Prophet says that أَعْدَى عَدُوَّكَ نَفْسَكَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْكَ. That the worst of all your enemies is that nafs which is inside yourself. You have to know yourself first. You have to know who the enemy is. Once the enemy has been known, then it's easier to fight. And fighting with one's self, with one's nafs, is classified as the greater jihad. And it is tough. Temptations, they are there all the time. It's not just once in one's lifetime. It's not just one sin. It's not just one sip. It's not just one munch of a haram sandwich. It's not one look. It's something which is ongoing and ongoing. And we have to be ongoing careful. If it is lust at an age, and after that comes wealth, after that comes rank, after that comes positions, and when none of these a person has got the ability to do, Quran has one beautiful ayah about this, says that man's cycle is in these five different stages. He's born, and all he wants at that age is just play. A baby just plays. As he grows, then he comes to a stage where he wants to live well, dress well, good clothing, nice shoes, nice bags, nice purse, etc. After that, he comes to a stage, he wants to have a good life, a good wife, a good husband, wealth, good car, etc. After that, when he passes from that stage, again a stage comes when it's the wealth and rank and position. And when all of these are done, he comes to a stage where he has not got that ability which he had. At this stage, he just sits and says, I've got that much of asset, so many houses, so many cars, so many children, so many grandchildren. So he's got something to get himself occupied throughout his life. And then Quran says, ultimately, you see them as these leaves that go orange, go yellow, go pale, broken down and crushed. So that is the whole life cycle of man. We have to be careful that throughout this cycle, that nafs which is in ourselves, that has to be known. The Prophet says, أَعَذَا عَدُوَّكَ نَفْسَكَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْكَ. The worst of all your enemies is that nafs which is inside yourself. Know it. Elsewhere in Quran says that وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Regarding, it means that, and as for him who fears to stand in the presence of the Lord and forbids the soul from low desires. What does it mean by this مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ? Doesn't say that وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ رَبِّهِ. Says مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. Why doesn't he say that one who fears Allah? Now, then what we are said that Allah, He is an existence, all kind, all mercy, all rahmah, Rahman, Rahim. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسَعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. His kindness, His benevolence, His mercy is greater than anything. So God has nothing to be feared. It is the maqam of Allah that is fiery, that is scary. A person comes and asks our sixth Imam that what is meant by this ayah, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. And in reply, Imam says that there's nothing scary in the presence of God. He is all beauty. And moves on and says that مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ, my father, fifth Imam, he interprets it as such. That is, the presence of Allah, مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ is the presence of Allah, is the justice of Allah, which is scary, which is frightening. And again, to understand this, if we look into Nahj al-Balagha, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says that اللَّهُمَّ عَاقِبْنِي بِفَضْلِكْ وَلَا تُعَاقِبْنِي بِعَدْلِكْ. That God, if you were to take an account from me, take that account with your grace, not with your justice. Because if that account was to be taken with the justice of Allah, then no one will end up in the paradise, no one. Not for one blessing of Allah can an entire lifetime of an individual be sufficient to thank Him. Not one lifetime for one blessing. For example, you eat an apple. Now, it might just look that it is one apple, it is just 50 cents. It's not like that. For that apple to grow, there has been a huge investment from Allah. The seed has to be there, the tree, the earth, the sun, the light, the heat, the water. All of these blessings, they go hand in hand until that one apple comes into your hand. Now for that one apple, can anyone be thankful? Impossible. No one can. When he says that, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ, that someone who fears the position of Allah, that is the justice of Allah. And Amir al-Mu'mineen says that, O God, take an account from me by your grace, not your justice, not your adl. And elsewhere again, the interpretation of this maqam rabbihi says that maqam rabbihi is the hell. That whosoever is afraid of the hellfire, that is what is meant over here. وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And then he protects his soul from all the indecencies and all the lusts and desires which it has. Protecting the soul is tough. It's easy to say, but it's tough. And all this is a lesson to myself first. Among the personalities that could be discussed over here from Quran, is Prophet Yusuf. Prophet Yusuf, that beauty, that charm was given to him. Temptations from the queen of that time also were there at large. Now, uttering these words, again, it's simple. For 7 consecutive years, Zulaikha, she is there, and a woman full of lust, superb, in attraction, second to none, and a young lad, 15, 16 years of age, and the presence of Zulaikha, and she always wanted him to be with her at all times, for 7 years. Now, what does Prophet Yusuf do? He says, God, the prison is much better for me than staying here in this palace with all these wealths, with all these riches. And in reply to the desires which she has, and with all the traps that she lays for him, in reply he says, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهُ, that God forbid, this indecency I will never do, I will never commit. إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ, that he never will make a zalim, a tyrant, someone who has done wrong for himself, prosper. For 7 years, and then just have the scenario in your mind, that how will that be? Her lust is there, charm is there, beauty from both sides is there, his youth, her position, being the queen of the time, etc., etc. And it required a fierce battle from Yusuf not to put himself in that indecent act. And if it was someone else, would have given away in just a moment. But Yusuf, for 7 years, he survived. This is Jihad-e-Akbar, which Quran talks about, which the Aimmah have emphasized. From the 2nd of Muharram, again we can see the same thing in Karbala. From the 2nd of Muharram, all sorts of challenges were put forward for Abu Abdullah Hussein. They said, if you don't submit, we will kill you. We will burn you down. We will torture you. We will slice you. We will shatter you. We'll break you, etc., etc. We'll plunder and loot everything. From 2nd of Muharram, it seems that these meetings continued for a long time, for a few days. Before that battle, again, Umar Saad, he requested to meet the Imam. And Imam allowed him, permitted him. And then a camp was set up between the two fronts, and Imam, he meets Umar Saad. Umar Saad, again, once again, he says that this is the last warning. You can submit. We will allow you to live freely on a condition that whatsoever you want you do, but have no say with whatever Yazid does. Let him do what he wants. You do nothing for him. There Yusuf said, Ma'adallah, God forbid. But over here we see that Sayyid al-Shuhada, he doesn't say Ma'adallah, he says La Wallah, that by God, no. No. All those challenges are there. In the first scenario, all those temptations were there. He says, no, God forbid. Here the challenges are there. Killing is there, looting is there, plundering is there, shooting is there, burning down the women, children, taking everything is there. He says, La Wallah, I will not. There Prophet Yusuf, he says that the present was much better for me, is much better for me than staying in this palace with all these blessings. Here, Abu Abdullah, he says that you challenge me with all those bullying. Inni la ara al-maut illa sa'ada. That I don't see death but prosperity. Wala ara al-hayata ma'a al-dhalimina illa barama. And living a life with the tyrants is a disgrace, and that I will not accept. So again, that is a jihad, a greater fight, a greater battle with the nafs. In one of these sayings, the Prophet of Islam, when they returned back from a battle, and people were relieved, he said, oh, we've done the job, we've won the battle, But here Prophet of Islam says that رَجَعْنَا مِنَ الْجِهَادِ الْأَصْغَرِ إِلَىٰ جِهَادِ الْأَكْبَرِ That we've come back, we've returned from that smaller battle which we have won, but now we've got a greater battle ahead. And people say, is there anything much more great than what we have done with this great battle that we have fought, we have won? The Prophet says, yes, there is. And that is, أَعْدَى عَدُوَّكَ نَفْسَكَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْكَ That nafs in yourself, that is the worst of all your enemies. The enemy which you just fought, that Saddam, that Abu Lahab, that Abu Jahl, that Yazid, that Muawiyah, the Zionist and all that, all these are the smaller enemies. You can fight them easily. But fighting the greater enemy, that is tough, and that is that nafs which is inside yourself. Again, for that, وَالنَّارُ مَثْوًا لَهُمْ Their ultimate end is the fire. And don't take this fire easy. Because that fire which Allah has set ablaze, I did mention it the other day, that it's so fierce, it's so horrible, it's so miserable, that the fire that has been set ablaze in the barzakh, that is before the day of judgment, it's so scary, it's so fiery, that if just a little ventilator from there is opened before a mountain, it would set that mountain glow in the heat. And if someone from the hellfire of Qiyamah is thrown into the hellfire, into the adhab of Barzakh, it is going to be as if it's a cozy bed for him, and he will doze off and he will be put to sleep. The fire, it's a great disaster. And for that reason, we see that in Dua Kumail, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says that وَهَذَا مَا لَا تَقُومُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ That the horror is such that the skies and the earth, they cannot withhold that horror. They cannot.